Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Happy day.
Amen.
One day we're going to see our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be great.
Amen.
Now, before I read before I read Luke chapter 12, I do want to remind us what we were looking at last week, and that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us that all of our works are going to be put through the fire. All of our works are going to be put through a trial, and we're going to see what we have left over. And he says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I do want to point out that when we were talking about that, we want to see that in this passage, we do have a teaching, a doctrine that's called eternal security. Amen. You see, though your works are going to be tried, you can be for certain you're going to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody in Christ Jesus is going to be saved. That is a for sure thing. That is a secure thing. You see, because salvation of your soul depends upon the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The salvation of your soul depends upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. It depends upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so if you end up being unfaithful and unrighteous, and you end up with a bunch of works that are going to be burned and you suffer loss, if you are in Jesus Christ, you will have the salvation of your soul. That is eternal security. And that's a great thing. That's a great hope that you are secure in Jesus Christ. Now the question is, are you in Jesus Christ? And that might be a little more difficult to know than it seems. You see, to know if you're in Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot of things that nobody else will know besides, I think, yourself. And I think that's why the Bible calls us to examine ourselves, to find out if you are in the faith. Because a whole lot of us can look around and say, oh, I think he's in Christ. And we may be mistaken and one day find out that that person was never in Christ. So you must examine yourself whether you be in Christ, because that's the only guarantee of salvation, is that if you are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's very important. And I want to talk about us being ready for Christ, because he's coming back.
Amen.
Christ is coming back. And so the title of my message would be, Ready or Not, Here He Comes.
Amen.
So we'll start in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus is speaking and he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Wow. What amazing words by our Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that we're able to come meet together, Lord, and we're here before you in your presence. We ask that you would guide us, Lord. We ask that you would open our eyes, give us understanding. We want knowledge, Lord. We want knowledge of your word. We want knowledge of your will. And Lord, we, above everything, want your spirit to do a work in our lives. Lord, do it from within. Let us not just be outwardly showing off what we claim, Lord, but let it be a work that is from the inside, Lord. So today we ask that you would open the scriptures to our hearts and that we would open our hearts to the scriptures, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Jesus says something here. You know, great. And what we were talking about last week about we have the opportunity to actually go for rewards that are going to be in heaven. We actually have the opportunity to go for rewards that are going to count for eternity. We can go for things that are much more valuable than the things that we could get on this earth. And that's what our goal should be. That's what we should be shooting for. Christians should not be having their eyes set on this temporal earth. Our eyes should be set on what's coming later on. And Jesus Christ is telling us that here. Rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen to what he says. He says, fear not, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an amazing thing. Do you know that God is actually wanting to give us?
Yeah.
He wants to bless us. He wants us to be rich. He wants us to be bountiful and plenteous. He wants us to be full. He wants to give us the kingdom.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. It's a great thing to think about. And this should be our motivation. We should be motivated when we think about God, when we think about Jesus Christ wanting to bless us. Think about it whenever he says in Revelation, behold, I come quickly. Whenever he says that he comes quickly and his reward is with him. Wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing to think about. He is wanting to reward us.
Wow.
That is our motivation there. That is what should be motivating us. That is why whenever I was talking about the judgment, we need to be aware of the judgment of Christ upon believers. It's because it should encourage us and motivate us because he is coming so that he can give us reward.
Amen.
He wants to. He wants to reward us. And look at what he says. Well, first of all, look at how he tells us he wants us to be prepared. We need to be ready for his coming. This is what his teaching is, right? He's telling us to be ready. He says in verse 35, let your loins be girded about. Get ready, right? He says he wants you to be ready for when he comes back. Whenever it's talking about loins girded about, they imagine wearing a robe, and if you're going to be getting some work done, a robe is just going to be in your way. And so what they would do is they would get that robe, and they would kind of tie it up and get it and strengthen like a belt and get ready for work so that they could move around. Getting your loins girded about is getting ready for work, being prepared for work. Kind of like what we would probably say is roll up your sleeves, right? Roll up your sleeves, get ready, because Christ is coming back and you need to be prepared. You need to be working. You need to be doing something. And so he says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Be ready. Be ready for when he comes back. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Wow. This is how we should be. Now, I find a great example when we consider Paul's life. If we want to see somebody who expressed this manner of living, yeah, we could say Paul was this man. Paul was wanting the return of Christ. He was awaiting the return of Christ. He was constantly, consistently working and ready for Christ's return. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, just look at how he talks about at the end of his life, how he's fought the good faith, the good fight of faith, how he's labored, all the things that he's done. And he says in verse 8, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. This is the Christian attitude. This is what a Christian should look like. A Christian should be one that is like unto men that wait for their Lord. They're expecting their Lord to come back and they're anxious for it. They want to see him. They want to see him back and they want to be prepared for him. They want to be there. Amen. For when he knocks. This is the Christian attitude. We want to be prepared. We want to be ready. We want to see him come back. And so the question is, do you love his appearing?
Amen.
Are you ready for Jesus Christ to come back? This is what we should be like.
Amen.
We should be ready for Christ to come back. Now look at what he says. He says, he's going to come, he's going to knock, and they should open to him immediately. Verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. You're blessed if when he comes back, you're one of the ones he finds watching, one of the one he finds waiting and ready. Verily, he says, that he shall gird himself. So he's going to gird himself. He's going to put on the working clothes. And it says that he will make them to sit down and I will come forth and serve them. Jesus Christ is going to actually put on the robe of servant, and he's going to let us sit down and he's going to serve us. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I think this should teach us a few things about service. Service is an honorable thing.
Yes. Amen.
For Jesus is going to serve us.
Amen.
And we should not think of it as a light thing when we are called to serve. Service is an honorable thing. Jesus Christ is going to one day serve those who are waiting and watching for his return. Wow.
Amen.
And look how inspiring Jesus is when he serves us. How can we but be inspired to serve him?
Amen.
When we consider that he leads by example, right? He says, do as I do. We want to see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, yes. Think about it. When Jesus Christ, the first time he came to serve. And we all understand that. We all expected that. But who would have guessed that Jesus, when he comes again, is also going to serve? Not something we would expect. And yet, here he says, he's going to serve them. We need to change our attitude when it comes to service.
Amen.
Service is an honorable thing.
Amen.
We see it because Jesus did it and he's going to do it again. Verse 38, he says, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Basically, is no matter how long it takes, the servants that are expecting their Lord to come are going to continue on no matter how long it takes. They are going to keep going. They are not going to faint. They're not going to give up. They're not going to lose sight of it and just throw in the towel. They are going to continue faithfully.
Amen.
They're going to wait. He's going to come and he's going to find them so. Now what happens if Jesus is taking longer than expected? Longer than some expect. Maybe we need to consider what that means and if we should be willing to wait, as it says here. Verse 39, he continues and he says, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So we need to be ready. This is what Jesus Christ is telling us, right? His point is clear. Be ready. Be ready for when Christ comes back. Be ready. This is his point. Now he says also that we don't know when he's going to come back. He says he's going to come when you think not. So if somebody's out there writing a book saying, this is the date that Jesus Christ is coming back, you can note that that's not the date that Jesus Christ is coming back. And since you know that's not the date that Jesus Christ is coming back, you don't need to expect it. And since you're not expecting it, maybe he will come back that day. So who knows? We don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. But you know what his exhortation is? His exhortation is, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. What does that mean? What does that mean, be ready? Like I said, the life of Paul should give us a lot of insight as to what that means. It means we should be always working. We should be working. We should be working for Christ. We should be about His business. We should be doing His will. We should be working about the things of the Lord. And we see the work that Paul put in and I mean, just go through his epistles. Read about what he's done. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and what he became to all men that some might be saved. He was after the reward. How is Christ going to reward us? Well, we've already seen an example of his reward that he's going to give them. And boy, if we want that, we should also work. We should strive Amen. For the mastery, as he mentions. Verse 41, though, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? So, the Lord, he replies to Peter, but he doesn't give him a real direct answer, right? He doesn't say, this I'm speaking to y'all 12. He doesn't say, this I'm speaking to the Jews. This I'm speaking to the Gentiles. He doesn't say a direct answer. He gives another parable. And there are a lot of different interpretations of what he says next. And hey, I think, you know, we should consider all the different ways of interpreting this. But I find that a lot of, you know, when you're looking into it, a lot of people, commentators and everything, just skip over what he says and don't really explain it. And that may be really wise because it may be difficult. But I do think it's valuable for us to consider his words. Yeah. What is he talking about? What is he saying? And what does it mean for us? At least give it an application for our lives. So Peter asks him the question, and Jesus answers again in verse 42. And he answers, I think he presents four different types of servants and how ready they were. And so he answers in verse 42, again talking about this faithful servant who he's going to reward. Verse 42 says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Amen. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. This is something, again, we should not forget, that Jesus Christ is going to reward those that were looking for him and that were working for him, and you can be guaranteed that his reward is going to be worth it.
Amen.
No matter what it cost you, no matter what you had to do, if you are serving Jesus Christ, what Jesus has prepared for you is going to be great.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
you, Lord. You know, we may be ruling planets one day. I don't know. I don't know what heaven is going to look like. I don't know what everything entails, and I don't know how it all looks, but I can guarantee you it's going to be great.
Amen.
If you receive rewards from Jesus Amen. Christ. Now he says here, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Like I said, the salvation of your soul depends on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and you better know that.
Amen.
There is no way that your faithfulness is going to get you the salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul depends on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's how you're found in Him, Amen. By trusting fully in His work.
Amen.
But a reward that Jesus Christ will bring with Him to give you is going to demand your faithfulness. That's what I want you to know today. I want you to know that there is a reward, and Jesus Christ is going to bring a reward for those who are faithful.
Amen.
And that's what it says. I'll read to you 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
Amen.
Hear what he says? He says, hey, be aware. You and I, and Jesus Christ is saying, hey, be ready, be watchful, don't faint. How many times is this exhortation? Don't faint, be watching. He says, look to yourselves that you lose not the things that you have wrought, that you have worked for. Look to yourself that you not lose it. He says, but that we receive a full reward. Because it seems like there's a possibility that you can lose your reward.
Right.
Is not that what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? That you will suffer loss.
Right.
Not something we like to think about.
Right.
But you as a Christian, when Jesus comes back, might suffer loss.
Right.
Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Again, he says, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Amen.
Hold on to it. Don't lose it.
Amen.
And all the exhortations we have so that we would be faithful and hold on to the end. Including Galatians chapter 6. Very commonly, right? We know this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
But what does he say in verse 9? He says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap.
Amen.
Oh, but he says something else there. He says, if we faint not.
Wow, yeah.
I think we should be exhorted as Christians to finish our race.
Amen.
Because Christ is interested in faithfulness to the end.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want you to throw in the towel. He doesn't want you to forget about Him. He wants you to be faithful to the end.
Yes, sir.
And so He says, who is this faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? Who is it?
Yeah.
Boy, I want to be like Paul and say, I want to run in such a way that I win.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's how I'm going to run. I want to win that prize. I want to win that reward. I want to be faithful to the end.
Amen.
Paul says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul did not want to lose sight of what he was going for, and he did everything possible so that he wouldn't lose sight of that because he didn't want to fall out of the race. And we need to have that same thinking.
Amen.
And I think it's a danger when we get so comfortable in understanding, and it's a great thing that we have good doctrine and we understand eternal security, but be careful getting comfortable in that, thinking everything's okay, I have nothing to worry about, I have nothing to fear, I have nothing to lose, because you do have something to lose.
Hey, right.
Christ is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for a faithful and wise steward. Jesus goes on, and after verse 44, he says he's going to make him the ruler that over all that he hath. In verse 45, he says, but, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. Now, I do not believe this is talking about a losing of your salvation. I believe here Jesus is depicting the reality that there are some that call themselves believers, and in fact are not believers. There are some who say, Lord, Lord, but they are not part of Him.
Right.
There are some who call upon Him and say they believe, but they are not Christians. There are birds in the tree, so to speak. There are people in the church that are not Christians. They are not Christ's. And they will one day be destroyed. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Listen, there are people in the church, there are people in what we call Christianity that may seem to be Christians, but they're not. They are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They transform themselves and they look like Christians, but they're not. And Jesus knows who they are.
Amen.
And one day Jesus says, they're not going to get away with it. I'm going to come back. And look at his harsh words for these who say, "Lord, Lord," but they don't do the works that He was demanding of them. He says He's going to cut them in sunder and will appoint His portion with the unbelievers. Now, a couple things that I take out of this, and one of those is looking at this person's attitude is that they were not looking for the Master's coming, right? What they decided to do is put off that the Master's coming back, and they made themselves the Master. Isn't that the way they're living? He says, they begin to beat the manservants and the maidens. They're the ones that begin to take authority. They think they're the Lord's. And so they do what they want with the maidens and the manservants. They get to eat and to drink and to be drunken. They start pretending like they are Lord's when they're not.
Right.
And I think we need to keep this in mind. What kind of attitude do we have as stewards?
Amen.
You realize that what you have is not yours. You are a steward of it. That means it belongs to Him and He's just given you charge over it. But it is not yours.
Amen.
And when we start getting this sense of, I can do what I want with what I have, with what is mine, we may be acting more like the unfaithful servant, the one that has a delay of his coming and acts like he wants instead of the faithful servant. And well, I think we should beware of that attitude. That is not becoming of a Christian. This is not the attitude a Christian should have. The attitude a Christian should have is recognizing Jesus is coming back, and so we must do the best we can with what He's put us in charge of. And we go for it, and we do what we're supposed to do, recognizing the whole time that it is His. But this servant, he became the Lord. We realize that again, right? I mean, we read and read and read all the places that talk about you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You should not be self-willed. You should not be driven by your will. You should be driven by His will. You see, this is all about putting our eyes on the Lord and His coming back and getting our eyes off of us.
Amen.
Because having our eyes on us and doing what seems pleasurable to us and eating and drinking and getting drunk, that's the type of attitude the unfaithful servant has.
Yeah, right.
And you do not want to act like that.
Yeah, amen.
That is not becoming of a Christian. He goes on and he says, and that servant, so I believe here he's talking about another servant you could be, right? Either you're the faithful servant, you're the unfaithful servant. Verse 47, it says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So there's a servant that whenever he comes back, there was a servant that was there and he knew of the will that his Lord had, but he did not do according to his will. And he says, he's going to be beaten with many stripes. Now I believe this beating was a way to shame these men. He continues on in verse 48. He says, but he that knew not, so he didn't know the Lord's will, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. That's interesting. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I think that when Jesus Christ is judging, he is going to judge righteously and fairly. And he actually sets up this rule and he says, if you have been given much, much is required. Much is expected of you. Now we live in a time where I think we have more understanding and doctrine and ability to get all the doctrine you want. Listen, you can go on your phone, pull up Blue Letter Bible, and you can find out all kinds of things that people have said in the past. And you can understand verses and chapters, and they can just come alive when you read all that there is. And God has given you ability, and I think He is requiring much of you and me.
Amen.
And the danger we are in is that we are required to do much more because we have received much more. Now, I believe that whenever we come to this point and we suffer loss because we were supposed to be waiting for the coming of our Lord, and we got distracted, and we might have known the will of our Lord, but we did not do it. We started building in a way that was not appropriate, and when all that comes through, and we suffer loss, I believe there will be great shame for those who did not work for the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read that. First Corinthians chapter 4. Talking about judgment. And you know, we want to judge things and we want to maybe lift people up and again the danger is we don't really know all things. We don't know everything.
Amen.
We may lift people up and we may give people praise, but we don't know who is worthy of praise and who is not exactly.
Amen.
But God does. And he says in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. That's when it will count.
Amen.
When you have praise of God.
Wow.
When God judges all of your works and everything you've done, then that's when praise will be valuable.
Amen.
That's when it'll be worth it all. When you're praised by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Imagine when he says, well done,
Amen. My
good and faithful servant. Well, if he says that to every single Christian, then it might not mean that much. I don't believe he's going to say it to every single believer. I believe that he is going to give everybody their due praise and their due reward. And I believe it's so valuable that we should set our eyes on that and run the race with that in mind.
Amen.
And so my goal with being aware of the judgment seat of Christ and being aware of the coming judgment and the coming of the Lord Jesus is that we should be motivated to live for Christ.
Amen.
Is that we should seek Him and be anxious for Him to come. We should desire to be ready for Him.
Amen.
Because ready or not, He is coming.
Amen.
So let's be ready.
Amen.
And let's work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's serve Him. Let's give our lives to Him.
Amen.
Let's live for Him.
Amen.
Because He's coming back. So let's be ready.
Amen.